This is a teaching tape from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, today's life-changing message.
Psalm 34, let's start reading in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My underlying praise. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Thou looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Today we're going to talk about praise. And you can top of today's lesson, praise, the believer's weapon. And I'm so excited about teaching this subject today because once you get the revelation on the dynamic power of praise, worship time and service will be just as important to you as you come in to hear the word of God. You know, many of you, you wait till right after praise and worship is over before you come into church. But after you hear this lesson today, you're going to run to get into praise and worship, and you're going to make sure that you're part of the action. See, once you understand the power of praise and that praise is your weapon as a believer, it's not something that you participate in just when you come to church and on a Sunday morning, but it'll be a part of your everyday life, everywhere you go and in everything you do. So what is praise? Praise is an act of worship or acknowledgement by which the virtues or deeds of another are recognized and extolled. Once again, praise is the act of worship or acknowledgement by which the virtues or deeds of another are recognized and extolled. Praise is an avenue whereby we express our love and joy unto God. So now that we have a definition of praise and that God wants us to praise him because we saw that in Psalm 34, let us begin to lay a foundation of some factors that we need to consider in this discussion of praise and how it is our weapon as a believer. We'll be covering a lot of scriptures today, but covering these scriptures are important to you getting an understanding of the foundation. You know, this is a pattern that we're accustomed to. My father, he uses a lot of scriptures when he teaches. And the reason that we do that is because we always want everything to rest and be confirmed by the Word of God. So using scriptures makes sure that the Word of God affirms everything that we say. And I want this lesson to instruct you today on how to change some situations and some circumstances that you're facing in life. Just take a moment right now before we get deeper into the lesson to think about some situations and some circumstances that you're facing. Just because you're saved and just because you're filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you don't face some situations and some circumstances in life. The situation might be concerning your finances. It might be concerning your marriage. It might be concerning your children. But there's something in life that you need some revelation and some insight on, and you want some changes to happen in your situation. Well, today, we're going to learn how to change that situation around. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And the first thing that we need to do today is we need to get an understanding of the reality of the invisible, and we'll reference the invisible world to the spiritual world. We all know that we live inside of this physical world. You can see me, I can see you. And although there is this physical world that we move and function in, there's also an invisible spiritual world that we cannot see with our physical eyes. Yes, there are forces out in this world that you cannot see with your physical eyes, and they have an effect on your life. 1 Colossians verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Underline visible and invisible. Whether they be thorns or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So we can see clearly here in Colossians that there's a visible arena and there's an invisible, which is a spiritual arena. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And this invisible spiritual world has a direct effect on the physical world that we function and live in. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. You got it? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So clearly in the world, we can see that the spiritual world caused the physical world to come into existence. Turn to Genesis 1 and 1. I'm going to give you an example. And this is the first page in the Bible in the Light Story Bible. Just open it up to the beginning. And this is an example of how the invisible, the spiritual world began to affect the physical world. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." How many of you have ever seen God? Nobody. So we know that God is invisible, and if God is invisible, then that means that God exists in this invisible spiritual realm. And if he exists in this spiritual realm, we can see that he had a direct effect on the physical world coming about. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. So we know that God lives in the invisible arena. So this thus far laying the foundation for our lesson today, we found out that there are two arenas that we live in. We have a visible, which is a physical arena, and then a spiritual, which is an invisible arena. And there's one inhabitant. We found out that there's one inhabitant in the spiritual arena, which is God. But there are other inhabitants, and we want to look at that so that we can make sure we have a clear understanding of the invisible world. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" So we can see here clearly that angels are also inhabitants of this spiritual arena. And the Bible says that they are ministering spirits for those who shall be heirs of salvation. So before you and I were saved, we had been assigned as angels specifically for us. So I know some of our angels had to work overtime just to protect us before we got saved. I know I put mine to work. So thank God for the ministering angels. Thank God that God assigned us an angel for before we got saved. Turn to Job chapter 1. So we know now that there is an invisible arena. God resides in the invisible spiritual world, and the angels reside in the spiritual world. Let's see who else is a resident in this spiritual arena. Job chapter 1. Job 1, verse 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down it.'" I know you think you've seen the devil in somebody, but the devil is invisible. He's real, and he affects the lives of people in the visible arena, but he exists and he's an inhabitant of the invisible spiritual world. Turn to 1 Peter 5 and 8. So we just saw in Job that the devil inhabits in this invisible realm, and he's walking about, moving in the earth. 1 Peter 5 and 8 reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So based upon Job and 1 Peter, am I going too fast? I'm going to slow down. Okay. So based upon Job and 1 Peter, we can see clearly that Satan is also an inhabitant in the invisible spiritual arena, and he moves in the spiritual arena, and he has a direct effect on the visible world. So at this point, we know that there are several inhabitants of the spiritual arena. There are many more, and we could go into all of them, but today for our discussion on praise, we're going to look at God, the angels, and Satan as the inhabitants of the spiritual world. So I know now you're saying, well, what does this have to do with praise? Turn to John chapter 4. So you have to lay a foundation so that when you begin to build, you're not on shaky ground, but you're on a firm foundation. And once you know something that you know that you know, can't nobody change it, and you won't waver because you stuck on a good ground. John chapter 4. God has designed each and every one of us to be able to do work in the visible realm and also in the invisible and the spiritual arena. John chapter 4. You got it? Verse 23. "But the hour cometh, and now is, When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if we want to communicate to God, we must do that in spirit and in truth, in the physical world and in the spiritual world. So how is this possible? Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Your Bible should just kind of automatically open to it because my father loves this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. God has created us to be tripartite beings. God has created us to be tripartite beings, and we're going to look at it in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. All right, you got it? I hear those pages rustling. I know what it is. All of y'all have new light store Bibles, and the pages are sticking together, and you got to kind of, that's what it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 reads, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So here in the scripture, we see that we have three parts: a spirit, a soul, and a body. We are spirit beings. We live inside of physical bodies, and we possess our soul. It is with our physical body that we function and do business in this visible, physical realm. It is with our soul that we connect and get in touch with our emotions and our intellect. And it is with our spirit that we touch and get in contact with the invisible and the spiritual realm. We just read over in the book of John that God is a spirit and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that is why we must be saved, because when we're saved, that gives us our key to operate in this invisible spiritual realm. You know, the Bible says that in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou can be saved. So the purpose of my salvation is not just my key to get into heaven and say, I don't want to go to hell, let me get saved. No, your purpose of you being saved is far much greater than that. You need to be saved so that you can get in touch and your spirit man can become alive to the things of God, and you can get in tap to the invisible arena. You know, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, he began to question Jesus and said, "How can a man be born again?" And at that point, Jesus explained to him, "You're not born a second time, but your spirit man becomes alive to the things of God." So if you want to touch the spiritual and the invisible arena, you need to get saved so that you can have your key to the invisible arena. Turn to John chapter 6. Hallelujah. So it's much more to being saved than just saying, "I'm not going to hell." That's the first step to you gaining access into that other arena that affects the life that we live in this physical arena. And there's another important element of this spiritual world that we don't want to leave out, and that's the power of our faith-filled words as a believer. Our faith-filled words that we speak out of our mouth as believers have power in the earth. All right, John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit, you got it? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when a believer opens their mouth to speak faith-filled words, that is how you begin to transact business in the spiritual world. Turn to Daniel chapter 10. And in Daniel chapter 10, we're going to see an example of Daniel speaking those faith-filled words when he prays. See, prayer is one of those links to the spiritual world. Prayer is like the beginning link to that spiritual arena. And although you can't see physically with your eyes what's going on, you have power, you have control over in that spiritual, invisible arena. Daniel chapter 10. Are you getting blessed? All right, we're going to start reading at verse 2. "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." So we can see here in verse 2 and 3 that Daniel entered in a time of fasting and praying. He committed himself to a time of praying and devoting himself totally to God and just God before the face of God. Jump down to verse 12. It's on the next page if you have a Light Story Bible. I'm kind of making a plug for that Bible today, so. I have some amplified scriptures too, so. You don't have to look on if you don't have a Light Story Bible. All right, verse 12 says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. Forget the vision is for many days." This is so awesome when you break it down and look at it. The angel begins to explain to Daniel what happened at the moment he prayed. The angel told Daniel, as soon as you got before the face of God in prayer, your prayers were heard. And at that point, I was dispatched to move on your behalf. The angel was told to go and move on the behalf of Daniel. And then at that point, he had some satanic interference with the devil. But because Daniel was persistent in his faith-filled words, the angel got some help, and the messenger angel came with the call and with the answer for Daniel. So it's awesome to see how at the moment you open your mouth, things begin to move in the spiritual world. Hallelujah. What Daniel made a choice to do is he knew that he had some business to take care of in the spiritual arena with his faith-filled words. So at the moment you open your mouth to pray, you begin to affect this spiritual arena. God begins to move, the angels begin to move, and Satan, the devil, begins to move. And although the spiritual arena was affected the first day he prayed, the key thing that I want you to see is that Daniel had to keep praying. He couldn't just pray one time and say, well, God, you ain't answer me this time. No, Daniel had to stay before the face of God and keep praying because it was his persistence that brought the answer to him. Hallelujah. But wait till you see the power of praise because it's totally outstanding. I want you to get this statement down. The words of your mouth affect the invisible, the spiritual world, and bring to bear pressures in this physical world. Once again, the words of your mouth affect the invisible spiritual world, and they bring to bear pressures in this physical world. So as soon as you and I speak the word out of our mouth, we begin to affect the spiritual world, which puts some pressures on this visible world. See, prayer has one effect on the spiritual arena, but when you get into a time of praise, it has another totally different effect on the invisible in the spiritual arena. Turn to Proverbs 18. This is getting good to me now, because I'm getting closer to the point of praise. See, once you get this revelation, praise and worship is going to be different for you. Proverbs 18. The words of your mouth affect the spiritual arena. Verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It is with my tongue that I speak to he who brings life to my situation, or it is with my tongue that I speak to he who brings death to my situation." Turn to John 10 and 10. It is with your tongue that you speak to he who brings life in your circumstance. You want some life in your circumstance? Speak life to the situation. If you want death to your circumstance, speak death, but I know you want life to come in that situation. John 10 and 10. Your tongue is a powerful thing. That's why they say guard your tongue. You got to watch your mouth. You in agreement for something and you up there running your mouth. No, if you want life in that situation, if you don't have nothing good to say, just don't say nothing at all and lift your eyes and get in the time of praise to God. John 10 and 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that thou might have life and that thou might have it more abundantly." It is with your mouth that you instruct life to your situation or death. So take a minute and say, What do I want to influence and bear on my situation? What do I want to put pressure in my situation in this visible world? Because it is with your mouth and the words of your mouth that you instruct life on your situation, or it is with your mouth that you instruct death to that situation. Turn to Psalms 103. So we know that when we speak those faith-filled words and we open our mouth with words, that God hears us, but the angels begin to move at the voice of the word of God. God hears us, and like Daniel said, like the angel told Daniel, at the moment that you prayed, God heard you and I was dispatched to move on your behalf. So angels move to the voice of the word of God. Psalms 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Now let's look at it in the Amplified, because this is going to bless you. It says, bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones, who do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So the Bible says that the angels move to the affectionate, grateful praise unto the Lord. See, when you get into the presence of God with some affection, the angels move to that affectionate, grateful praise unto the Lord. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. So you can't just come in here and be talking about, I'm here. You got to put some affectionate, some grateful, I just thank God for who you are. Matthew chapter 8. And while you're turning to Matthew chapter 8, I want to bring to your remembrance a story over in Matthew chapter 4. There Jesus was in the wilderness, and he began to be tempted by the devil. And so at this point, Jesus had a choice to make. He had to do some battle with the devil. He could have tried to fight the devil with his fists. He could have went for a gun. You know, he could have cussed him out. But what Jesus did is he opened his mouth and spoke the word. God gives us power to fight the devil with the words of our mouth. And Jesus, our example, used that same principle when he had to go to battle with the devil. He opened up his mouth and spoke the word on his situation. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with the devil, and he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick. So we can see when he was at a point where he had to have a battle with the devil, he opened his mouth and cast them out with his words. So the words of your mouth affect the spiritual arena. And you have to understand that the words of your mouth affect this arena. You got to get that understanding, because if you don't understand that the words of your mouth have such power in the spiritual arena, you'll never understand the importance and the power of your praise. The words of your mouth give power in the spiritual arena. And when you begin to open your mouth and praise and worship God and give power to your words, the devil, he's defeated. He's under our feet. God has given us control over the devil. He's a defeated soul, but you have to open your mouth and speak the word of God. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 33. It's important that you open your mouth and speak the word of God. You can't just sit there and say, I'm thinking about praising God. I'm thinking about praying to God. You got to open your mouth and say something. I don't mean you have to holler, but you still got to open your mouth and say the word. Thinking the word is not going to change the situation, but when you open your mouth, the Bible says that we have power with the words of our mouth in the spiritual arena. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's look at it in Amplified. It says, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of, and understand. So at the time that I open my mouth in the visible, physical arena, I'm talking to God over in the spiritual arena, and the Bible says that he'll show me great and mighty things that are already in the spiritual arena that I know not, so that they can appear in the visible arena. Everything that you ever need in life to overcome your situation, overcome your circumstance, everything that you need in life already exists over in the invisible spiritual arena. But you gotta open your mouth so that you can begin the transfer from the invisible over into the physical spiritual realm. So the first step is you gotta begin to open your mouth so that transfer can begin to take place. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. See, once you and I understand the power of opening our mouth, praise is not something that you'll sit in the back and hide to do and say, I don't want to raise my hand too high. You know, I'm going to do it just like this. Because when you know the power of praise, you're going to go at it with bold action and go at it with it full force and say, I don't care who looking at me. It's about me taking care of some business in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I didn't tell y'all to go there. Y'all should have caught it in the spirit. This is an awesome thing. 1 Corinthians 14. So when you get to the revelation of praise, you're going to do it with some bold action. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 says, For he that speaketh in the unknown tongue, speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So when you speak in tongues, you're not just rambling off at the mouth, but you're talking to God in the spiritual arena. You begin to do business over in the spiritual arena so that you can begin to transfer from the spiritual arena over into the visible arena of some things that you don't even know what God wants for you and has in store for you. Hallelujah! That's some good stuff. All right, so you have to understand that the spiritual arena, and once you understand that, you can grab onto the revelation of the power of praise. And I believe that we've laid a clear foundation of how important it is for us to understand what's over in the invisible arena, the spiritual arena. We know God exists, the angels exist, and Satan exists in that arena, and that the spoken words of our faith-filled words, things begin to happen. God begins to move, the angels begin to move, and the devil begins to move. So that means we have to begin to open our mouth. And we also found out what effect prayer has on in the spiritual arena. So let's look at our weapon of praise. Turn to Psalms chapter 8. I think praise is almost one of the easiest things to do because God is such a good God. So it's not like God is asking you to do something that you don't even know how to do. It's so easy to praise God because if you just reflect on his goodness and his mercy, I mean, it just flows out. All right. Psalm 8. Praise has been designed to do something over in the spiritual arena. We'll start reading at verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So we can see here clearly that when we praise the Lord, number one, it stops the enemy. So when I open my mouth to get before God and express to him how wonderful he is, how good he is to me, how I love him, how he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I begin to command the enemy to come to a halt. I send the angels to intervene on my behalf. Hallelujah! You open your mouth and praise and let God know who he is and what he's done for you. things begin to happen at the moment you enter into praise. The enemy has to come to a stop. They can't interfere no more because you let God know who he is and he dispatched the angels to intervene on your behalf. Turn to Isaiah chapter 61. When I praise God, number one, not only do I stop the enemy, but I strengthen my spirit man. And we want to have a strong spirit man because our spirit man, we found out earlier, is the key to our entrance in the invisible spiritual world. Praise is the garment for our spirit man. You got to cover your spirit man with the garment of praise. Let's read Isaiah 61. Verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, that thou might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You have a choice to make. You can either walk around moping, feeling heavy, weighed down, depressed, disgusted, and saying, Lord, why me? Or you can decide that you're going to exchange that spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise. You can either complain all day and say, this is not right, and feel beat down, or you can willfully exchange it for the garment of praise, because the Bible says that's the garment for our spirit man. Turn to Psalms chapter 22. So we found out thus far that praise commands the enemy. The enemy has to stop when we enter into a time of praise. That it's the spirit, the garment for our spirit man. But praise also brings God on the scene. And we want God to be on the scene in the midst of our situation. Hallelujah. Psalms 22. Told you it was a lot of scriptures, but it's a good scriptures. Psalms 22 verse 3 says, But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. In the Amplified Version it says, But you are holy, O you who dwell in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. So God inhabits the praises of his people. He promises in his word to show up when we offer up the praise to him. If you want God to be in your life and in the midst of your situation so that he can begin to change things and change your circumstances, you need to begin to offer up the praise to him because he inhabits the praises of his people. See, when you walk around and you just remain in the attitude of praise all day long and I'm just in a mode of praise, you become a threat to the enemy because if you're in the attitude of praise, the Bible says that God is right in the midst of it. So you gotta have that spirit of praise on you at all times. But see, you can't just say, I'm gonna praise him on Sunday when I get to church. Praise is much more than that. It's more about, you know, from the time that you get to church and we do it for 15, 20 minutes and then we over for the day. No, praise is much more than that. You have to praise him continually. At the beginning of the lesson we read in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So you have to stay in the attitude of praise unto God. Hallelujah. See, praise is not something that you do just because you see somebody else doing it and you see somebody else lifting up their hands and Sister So-and-so look good when she praised the Lord and she looked good when she speaks in tongues. No, it's about you getting God to come in and moving your situation and moving your life. It's not about you just playing a part of, I got to do this so I can fit in and look spiritual and let everybody know I'm in ministry of health and I serve the Lord. It's more than that. It's about you getting God to come in your situation so he can change some things around. Hallelujah. You get the angels to go and minister on your behalf when you enter into a time of praise and worship. So praise is a personal thing. It's not about you. It's not about me. But it's a personal thing. Try to tell your neighbor, help me preach to him and say, it's not about you. But praise is personal to me. Tell them again, say, praise is personal. Hallelujah. Turn to Isaiah 57. So we know that praise stops the enemy. It strengthens our spirit man. It causes God to come in the midst. Let's look at how God responds when we offer up the praise to him. See, God responds in a unique way when we praise his name. Psalms 57:19 says, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, I will heal him. In the Amplified version, it says, peace. I'm going to wait till y'all stop rustling the pages so y'all can get this, because y'all don't want to miss this. I said, what did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, go back. Y'all should have caught that. Isaiah 57. I'm going to wait till y'all get there. See, I was on the roll. Y'all should have picked that up. Isaiah, I-S-A-I-A-H, 57, verse 19. Got it? Okay. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. In the Amplified version, it says, peace, peace, to him who is afar off, both Jew and Gentile, and to him who is near, saith the Lord. I create the fruit of his lips. I will heal him, make his lips blossom anew with speech and thankful praise. The Bible says he will make your lips blossom in thankful praise. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look at it in another scripture. The Bible says that he creates the fruit of your lips. And see, for me, I love fruit. And if you think about how sweet fruit is, and to think that God creates the fruit of your lips, so that's like sweet, one-of-a-kind praise unto him. Oh, that's awesome. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do good and to communicate, forget not, for with sacrifices God is well pleased. So the Bible clearly says that when we enter into a time of praise, God's response is that he begins to create the fruit of our lips. So even if you say, I don't know what to say, just open your mouth and begin to just praise. Just say, like I always tell a kid, just say, Father, I thank you for your goodness. And when you enter into that time of praise and offering yourself up as a sacrifice to God in praise, the Bible says he creates the fruit of your lips. So, as we close today for the lesson, before we close, I want to look at several men and women in the Bible who began to use the weapon of praise in the midst of their situation. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So we found out today that praise, number one, it stops the enemy because God has given us dominion over the enemy. It strengthens our spirit man because that's the garment we need to exchange for that spirit of heaviness, spirit of being weighed down, feeling depressed, put on the garment of praise and lift yourself up. And then we also learn that when we enter into a time of praise, God begins to come on the scene. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And in this story, this is the story of Jehoshaphat. And there Jehoshaphat was in trouble. He had two sides who had came together to battle against him. And he called out the people to come into a time of prayer and praise unto God. See, Jehoshaphat knew the key to getting out of his situation. Jehoshaphat knew the key to his getting out of his circumstance and getting those things in the invisible spiritual world to begin to move in the spirit, in the physical world. Jehoshaphat had the key. Let's start reading at verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know what to do. Let's start at the top. Verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. So Jehoshaphat knew there was no way in the physical he could have won this battle. So he knew that he had to talk to God in the spiritual arena. Verse 13 says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. Then upon Jaziel, the son of Zechariah, I'm going to jack up these names, I'm going to tell y'all now. The son of Benaniah, the son, the son of Jael, the son of Methaniah. See, my child got an easy name, four letters. A Levite of the sons of Asaph came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Ooh, I got through that. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and now King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God." Verse 16, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smiting. Jehoshaphat knew the key. There Jehoshaphat was, staying a battle in the face. He had two sides against him, and he said, "What am I going to do?" So he said, "Let's call the people together for a time of prayer, praise, and worship unto God." And so when Jehoshaphat did that, the Bible says that God began to move in his behalf. And then when God moved, God spoke wisdom into his situation. If you want wisdom, you need to get before the presence of God and pray. That's all. If you want wisdom on your situation, on your finances, do like Jehoshaphat and get before the presence of God in a time of prayer and a time of praise. So after Jehoshaphat, you know, did that, Jehoshaphat, he didn't get on the phone calling everybody, telling them, "Girl, what I'm going to do? I don't know what to do. What I'm going to do?" You know, that boy just out there acting like a fool. What I'm going to do? No, Jehoshaphat got on his knees, got the people together, and got before the presence of God, and he got wisdom on his situation. Jehoshaphat knew that he had some business to tend to over in the invisible spiritual world. So Jehoshaphat got wisdom from God, and once he got the wisdom, Jehoshaphat, he sent out his most powerful weapon. He didn't send out the soldiers that he had trained to fight a battle. He didn't send out the guns and the knives and all that. He sent out the singers and the praise team to enter into a time of praise. So they're going in the battle, entering into the battle, praising the Lord. Why did they do that? Because the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And the Lord God moved in the visible world from the invisible world and made some things change. God changed the situation of that Jehoshaphat was facing because Jehoshaphat decided to get before the presence of God and offer up the sacrifice of praise. Turn to Acts chapter 16. See, I don't think that's enough to show you the real power of your praise unto God. I want you to be sure with beyond a shadow of a doubt that you getting into a time of praise, into a time of worship, will change your situation and your circumstance around better than anything else that you could do. You can call everybody, get your homeboys to help you, get your homegirls to come in. But if you go to God into a time of prayer and praise and worship, the situation must turn around. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 16, verse 23. This is the story of Paul and Silas. We're going to start reading in verse 23. It says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So they didn't just, you know, say, go on, get up in there, boys. Who having received such a charge, thrust them into the prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So they didn't just, you know, carefully, come on, get in the prison. They threw them brothers in there, locked them up. You're going to stay in here for a little while. Well, let's see what Paul and Silas decide to do. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. But more importantly, God heard them. It was midnight. You know, we know that God never sleeps and he never slumbers. So God heard them in their time of praise. Now let's look what happened when Paul and Silas praised God. Verse 26, the Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. You need some sudden, some immediate, some spontaneous earth shaking, breaking the foundation results. You need to get before the presence of God. And don't be doing it all shy. I'm sure Paul and Silas wasn't up in the prison talking about, I will bless the Lord at all. They was in there screaming to the top of their lungs, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. And because they made a choice to give before the presence of God, some suddenly and immediate results began to take place. Well, let's see what else happened when they decided to praise God. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. See, not only are you going to change your situation and your circumstance, not only is God going to produce some suddenly and some immediate results, but God is going to bring somebody else to the kingdom of God when you get before him in a time of praise and worship. That's an awesome thing. Paul and Silas knew how important it was to do some business over in the spiritual realm. They got before the presence of God, started taking care of business so God could make the transfer and do some business and handle some things up in the physical, visible realm. God is a good God, but you got to offer up the sacrifice of praise. You know, and many of you, you've been coming to this church and you look around and you say, what a magnificent facility is. Pastor Hillier, he's not even here, but this auditorium is packed, and you say, how did all of this come about? Well, I remember as a little girl, we would have prayer and praise unto God. And because a saint took time to get before the presence of God, get to God in a time of praise and worship, your life is the better. See, not only did they go to God for themselves and say, God, I need you to move and intervene on my situation, but they went to God for this ministry as a whole. And because they did that, your life is the better. You can know Jesus for yourself. So for you in your own personal life, you need to get before the presence of God. Not just for yourself so that your life can be the better. Yes, we're selfish. We want our lives to be the better. We want God to move in our situation. But above all, you owe it to another brother, another sister, to get before the presence of God and offer up some praise. Because when you do that, hallelujah, not only will you have some suddenly and some immediate results, but you'll bring somebody else to the kingdom who doesn't know God for themselves and doesn't understand the power of praise. Amen? So look at your neighbor right now and tell them it's time. Say it's time. Well, it's time for what? It's time for some things to change in my life. Tell your neighbor it's time for me to get into some praise to God. Girl, let's get our praise on. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet so we can praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that you're a good God. We thank you, Father, that you're a loving God. Father, I honor your holy name. There is none like you. Father, your word says that when we offer up the sacrifice of praise, you begin to move in our situation. Father, we stop the enemy right now taking over our children's lives. We stop the enemy right now taking over our king's lives. We set them apart to you, and we call our ministering angels to come and minister on our behalf. We dispatch our angels to move in our situations, move in our circumstances, move in our marriages, move in our finances, because your word says that we are on our way to our wealthy place. Father, we're making the transfer from the invisible spiritual world down to the visible arena. Father, your word says that everything I ever need, everything that we ever want in life already exists in the invisible spiritual arena. And when we come to you in a time of praise, your word says that you make that transfer over to the physical arena. We love you, Lord God, for you alone are worthy to be praised. There's no God like unto you. It's because of you that we're able to do everything that we do. Father, we thank you that you loved us before we were in the saved. And you loved us so much that you sent us an angel just to protect us during that time when we didn't know you for ourselves. Thank you, Father, for being such a loving God. We worship your holy name. There is no God like you. We bless you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you create the fruit of our lips. We magnify your holy name. Thank you, Father, for your anointing power. Thank you, Father, that you're a worthy God. We praise and bless your holy name. We honor you, O God. Father, even though when we speak in tongues, your word says that we don't know what we're saying, but you know everything that we're saying, and we're communicating to you, and you're making that channel for us to bring those things that we need to this visible realm. We magnify you, God. You're a magnificent God. There's none like you. We offer up the sacrifice of praise. We humble ourselves unto you because you're worthy to be praised. Thank you, Father, that you're beginning to move in the lives of these precious people. Thank you, Father, that you're moving in their situation. You're moving in their circumstances. And after this day, our lives will never be the same. Our situations will never be the same because we go before your presence, called on your name, and your word says, and you're a man that you should not lie. We stand on your word that when we offer the sacrifice of praise continually, you stop the enemy, you move on our behalf, you weave, change the garment of heaviness for the spirit and the garment of praise. Thank you, Father, for being such a loving God. There is none like you. I worship you, Father. Thank you, Father, for loving us for who we are. We bless your holy name, O God. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. We call our children right now. We lift them up to you, and we lift our teens up to you. Father, no longer will you steal our teens and our children from us. We stop. The devil will not have them anymore. We stop the enemy right now, dead in his tracks. He has no place right now. We call the angels out to dispatch them. Bring them home. Bring them to a saving knowledge of you. You are a true and living God. Father, we thank you that now for your word that you give us a new revelation, and that when we come into your presence for a time of praise and worship, no longer will we be shy, we'll be intimidated by the person standing next to us, but we see it as a personal thing. It's a personal time where I transact business between me and you. You're a loving God. We bless your name, Father. Father, we thank you that you give us peace that surpasses all understanding. We cause our healing right now to transfer from the spiritual world over to the visible arena. And our angels are working quickly and fast to bring our healing to us. We thank you, Father, that everything for our life is meant. And we live in daily expectation of you loading us with your blessings. And those things that you know already in the spiritual arena, you're transferring them now to us in this physical world so that we can enjoy them in the life that we have. We give you alone the praise, the glory, the honor, and the adoration because you are a worthy God. There is none like you. You're everything that we ever need. Everything we ever have to go to in life. You are all-sufficient God. And we bless your holy name. Thank you, Father, for being a good, loving God. We praise you, Father, for your worthy. We magnify your holy name, O God. Father, we thank you that you create the fruit of our lips. And we want life to our situation. We speak words of faith-filled words. We praise and lift your name up because you're a loving God. And there is none like unto you. Everybody give the Lord a big shout of praise and you may be seated. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord God. Praise your Father. You may be seated.